Hello, rich moms. Welcome back to Old Money, the podcast for women building the trust funds they wish they were born with. And this one, as I mentioned, is for the rich mom and dads out there that are building the trust funds they love, they want for their children. Parents, this episode is for you. I know so many of our listeners are parents, and I've gotten so many requests from you wondering how to set your kids up to succeed financially or how to teach them about personal finance. These are all really good questions, and I don't have kids. This is not an area of my expertise, but I get it because if our parents didn't teach us these types of tricks and tips and financial ideas, how are we supposed to teach them to the next generation? As we know, generational wealth is more than just the money, the assets, the businesses, or the real estate you pass on to your kids. It's the knowledge, the habits, and the confidence you instill in them regarding finance. So while I'm not the one to help you with this topic, I found the expert who is. I'm very excited to have on the show today someone who has broken the internet with her very sensible but controversial approach to personal finance for kids, the founder of Early Bird Education.
Hello.
Welcome to the show, Samantha Bird.
It's so nice to be here. Thank you.
So happy to have you. I have to give a shout out to our editor, Berta, who's the one that found you. And when she passed along your Instagram profile, I was like, holy cow.
Oh, awesome.
We need you on the show ASAP. You went viral, like I said, for telling the internet you charge your kids for rent and utilities. But before we get into that, you're going to break it all down for us. Tell us a little bit about your background, how you got into personal finance for children.
Yeah. So my career background, I actually like to say that I'm right smack dab in the middle between my right and left brain. So I have a background in finance and insurance and real estate. And then I also had a small home decor line for a little while. So how I got into personal finance for kids was actually out of necessity. My husband and I knew nothing about finance, and we ended up $40,000 in credit card debt, not a penny in savings, really, really struggling, and had to dig ourselves out of a massive hole. And so I looked to every personal finance book that I could find. I taught myself how to get out of that hole. And in doing so, realized that there's just so much in regards to wealth building and finance that I knew nothing about coming from a lower middle class background. So I made it my mission to learn these things myself and then to teach my own children these things.
That's so incredible and so important. And I'll say for most of the rich girls listening right now, your story is not a unique one. A lot of us have been there in five figures of debt and being like, wait, I thought I was capable and smart. And we are capable and we are smart. We just don't know the rules to the game. So I really appreciate you sharing that story.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you have three boys. Is that correct? How old are they?
I do. Yep. So I have a 6-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 9-year-old, all boys.
Amazing. You must have your hands full. And I'm so excited to talk about how you teach them all about finance. By the way, if you guys, we'll talk about where to find Samantha all over social, but even me with no kids, I went on a full rabbit hole, deep dive, watching so many of your videos. They're so great, easy to understand, really digestible. But some of the things you talk about is why it's so important to start teaching kids about personal finance at a young age. Why do you believe it's important, and why does this method work?
So I think it's important because learning about personal finance, in my opinion, is a lot like learning a language. And we all know that children are really great at soaking up information. When they're little, they're not as afraid to fail. They're not as afraid to look silly or stupid like we are as adults. And so what better time to teach these principles that, quite honestly, you do fail when it comes to money. I mean, that's just part of the game at times. You mess up and you learn from those mistakes. Rather than make those mistakes now while they're under my roof, I would rather them learn this really truly as a second language so that they don't have to think this hard about it like I am as an adult who didn't learn this. You know, I want them to be able to enjoy their lives and not really focus on money all the time because they've got a system and an understanding that just carries them throughout their lives.
I love that. And you mentioned something earlier too, Samantha, about, you know, the financial education you had from your family. How do you believe the wealthy talk about money versus the rest of us with our children?
Yes. I like to say this is my Roman Empire. I think about this often because the wealthy, from everything that I understand and have read, teach their children about expansion. It's about expansion and about protecting assets. And those of us who grew up in a lower or middle class environment, we are taught restriction. We are taught don't spend too much. We are taught get a sensible job. Don't take on too much risk. And that's not how the wealthy teach their children. And so I want to give my kids and myself the most well-rounded financial life that I possibly can. And so that includes restriction and expansion, or not restriction, maybe responsible management and expansion.
You know, I was just chatting with my mom on the phone this morning, telling her how excited I was to chat with you today. And she told me an anecdote of when I was a kid and I had asked for something. And my mom said, well, I don't have money for that. And apparently I said, well, just go to the ATM and get some more. And not really having an understanding of where the money in the ATM came from, right? And it's a funny story, but it's really interesting just how our parents and how we as parents will influence our children by the ways that we speak about money. There wasn't a conversation of here's how to put more into the ATM. Here's how I work to put money into the ATM. And this is the process of getting it out. And so I think it's so beautiful what you're saying. And that's why I wanted to start with this is it's not about teaching kids to be frugal or to not spend or to be afraid of money or make it a very stressful situation. It's like, look at all the things that can happen when you have resources, the power it gives you to make choices, and here's how to go earn more, which we'll get into.
Right, exactly.
What type of financial beliefs outside of this, you know, responsibility and expansion dynamic are you hoping to instill in your kids so they can thrive in adulthood?
So limiting beliefs and the beliefs we hold about money, it's a really powerful subject in my opinion, and something I'm pretty, I guess, proactive about with my boys. So I want them to understand that they are capable of expanding to whatever size they want to, that managing money can be easy, that money is not something to be afraid of. There's just so many beliefs that I want to instill in them that I think the vast majority of us, the general, like society as a whole, just are not taught and do not believe.
I couldn't agree more. And I want to get into your system, but you mentioned the ages of your boys. Do you have different age recommendations for when to introduce different topics to kids?
When my boys were around 3 or 4-ish, that's when we started kind of playing with the money conversation. We did things mostly through play. I mean, so kids learn really, really well through play. So around that age, we were playing store. They would help pay for things at the store. They'd hand the cashier the money or the card. I started teaching them the different currencies, what value each the dollar and $5 bill holds. At that point, it was really play-based. Then when they got to around age 6-ish, that was when we started going more into budgeting and they started getting an allowance. That's when a lot of the tools that you see on my page, that's when we started those.
Okay. So about age 6.
Yeah, that's right around when we started.
Okay. And let's get into it. You've got to break it down for us, all the things, and your whole system, I think, is absolutely genius. But first of all, you went viral and people freaked out over the fact that you charge your kids for rent and utilities. Let's go through it. Explain the whole system to us here. I think it's amazing. Tell us why people were freaking out and what you're doing with your 3 boys.
So I accidentally went viral for saying that I charge my kids rent and utilities. It got a lot of feedback, most of it really positive. The vast majority saying, man, I really wish that I had learned these skills. And then, you know, I got quite a few comments that were saying, let kids be kids. This is ridiculous. A lot of anger. And then it just caused people to be fighting in my comments. It was a whirlwind, I will tell you. But the majority, I mean, the people who get it, that you don't just turn 18 and automatically know how to pay your bills and know how to set money aside for what you need. This is something that needs to be taught. And in my opinion, there's no better time when they're 6 or 7 years old, when things are still fun and mom and dad are still cool and they want to learn from us.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Okay, Samantha. So break it down for me. What allowance are your boys getting? How do you help them manage their money? What can they do with it? And how much do they pay you in rent?
Yeah. So we pay our kids $1 per weekday for their chores that they do around the house. And then we do an additional $1 to accommodate charging mock expenses. So that is $6 a week. They have $3 worth of expense. So it's rent is $1, like utilities is $1, and then groceries is $1. Above and beyond that, they can decide to use their money however they choose. We sit down, we help them budget it out into the different categories. And then, yeah, so it's really straightforward. We charge those utilities on the first of every month, but each week we have a weekly money date is what we call it. So fun stuff, having a snack, that type of thing, and talking about money.
Okay, I'm obsessed with the fact that you have money dates with your boys because I prescribe money dates to our rich girls. I do a money date. I do it now once a month for just kind of totaling the month, reallocating expenses and investments and all that. But when I was getting out of debt or I was still learning these tools, I was doing a money date with myself weekly. Now, you have some good tips for how to make it fun for your kids that I think could also be applied to making this fun for adults. So tell me a little bit more detail. How do you make it fun for the boys?
We have it on our calendar. It's every Wednesday night. We do their money date. And first, I mean, obviously they love it because they're getting money and they think that's really cool. But then we also, I mean, we do like a fun snack or a fun drink. One time we had sparkling grape juice and they have these little tiny mini like wine glasses that they think are very cool. So I try to just make it fun because I think if you have positive associations with whatever habit you're trying to instill, it's going to be easier to keep it going.
I totally agree. And I also love that you do it at the same time, the same place, and the same day. I think that's really important for instilling that habit too.
Yes.
And then talk to me about, you have not just a workbook, but you found this incredible wallet on Amazon that you use it as a tool. And there's all these different categories that you will help your boys kind of navigate through. Can you talk us through those?
Yeah, absolutely. So they allocate their money between a few different categories. So there's spending, saving, investing, giving, and expenses. So we have them divide their cash up into those categories. And then in the wallet themselves, there's a little tracker so they can track when they spend, when they put money in, that type of thing.
I love it. And for anybody out there that's followed Dave Ramsey, you guys know I talk about Dave all the time. Not always the hugest fan of his methodologies, but he does absolutely help with, I think it's kind of common in this circle, right? But he's got some good principles. One of them is that cash system, right? And kind of understanding the different categories of where your cash is going to go. So if you're looking for a really rudimentary wallet, yes, six year olds are using it, but so could you. I think it's a good resource. And with that being said, on the expenses, Samantha, a lot of people online had a lot of concerns about what you were doing with the rent, the expenses that your boys are paying you. Talk to us about what you're doing with this money.
In the beginning, we were just recycling it back into their allowance money. So it would just go back towards next week's allowance. But we decided, you know, to put it in a small interest-bearing savings account for now. I mean, it's $3 a month per child. So it's really not going to be anything massive. It's not going to replace any of the other saving that we're doing for our kids. But it's at least something a little fun that when they get older, we can be like, hey, you know, here's a grand toward a car or something. Yeah, really straightforward. We're not pocketing it as everybody was concerned with, but whatever.
That's really funny. And one of the categories that you mentioned was investing and talking to children about investing. Can you talk about the different types of accounts you've set up for your kids, both on the saving side and on the investing side and what you do there?
Yeah, absolutely. So our kids right now, we have simple, just like savings accounts for the boys. And we're actually in process of getting some whole life insurance policy set up for our boys so that they can be their own bank. I'm actually licensed in insurance, so I have to be really careful about how I talk about that so I don't lose my licensure. So that's one tool that we use. I don't talk much about that. But then also we have custodial accounts for each of them on an app called Stockpile. So it's a really user-friendly app that they can actually go on and see different stocks and different ETFs and how their portfolio is doing. But yes, custodial accounts. Right now, that's where we're focusing.
And will you explain to the audience exactly what a custodial account is?
A custodial account, really simply, is an account that is owned by the adult and actually belongs to the minor. So once they turn 18, it's transferred directly to them. So anything that is put into it will become the minor's at once they turn 18.
I love that. And talk to me about what that process is like of the boys choosing stocks, or how do they choose what they want to invest in? And what's the dynamic like about looking at your portfolio when you're 6 years old?
So I focus a lot on them understanding the terminology. And like I said before, I mean, I learned this stuff self-taught, learned through books. And so a lot of times this is me learning right alongside them, which is fun. I want them to see me learn and grow as well. So we look through, you know, a lot of times they're picking things that they know, picking companies that they know. We've recently started talking through ETFs and what ETFs, like what the benefits are to them, and looking at the history of something to see if you had bought it then and held on to it, what would it be now? And it's a lot of, I mean, honestly, teaching math skills too and how interest works. And it's a lot of fun. My 9-year-old is like, Mom, can I check my stocks? Oh, like wow. Once a week. He's like, Mom, can I check those? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely you can, which is, it's fun for me.
Future finance bro. I'm obsessed.
Yes, you're right.
That's so cute. I love that so much. And I think what you said is so important, Samantha, and I can't underscore this enough of it's still fun for them. And you actually mentioned this in one of your videos. It's like when they become teenagers, we were all teenagers. We remember there's a point when like mom and dad are not cool anymore. This is not fun. I know everything. And so really holding right. their hands when they're young and interested in this, and it can be fun and exciting, I think is so incredible. I love what you're doing.
Right. Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about some of the emotional sides of things too. We've touched on this as it relates to the money stories and the ideas that we've I always say sponged up, but when we were kids, we sponge up everything, right? And I'd love to hear your thoughts on kind of the emotional regulation around money, especially if, you know, somebody is wanting something they maybe can't afford right now, or they're feeling jealous, or any of these feelings that come up. How do you deal with those conversations with your kids?
Yeah. So emotional regulation is a huge point of conversation for us. We really focus on this because I think pretending that money is not emotional is doing our kids a disservice. When things like this come up, so let's say my son gets jealous of something that somebody else has. And I actually talked about this in one of my most recent posts. Let's say he gets jealous and he wants to pull all his money out of savings because he wants to buy whatever new thing it is, a pair of Nikes or whatever it is. I try to validate the feeling behind it, saying, yeah, you know, we get jealous. You feel jealous. That doesn't feel good, does it? What's a better feeling emotion that we can work towards? Would you feel proud if you kept your money in savings towards your goal? I try to just gently redirect instead of making somebody feel guilty for a way that they're feeling already and not validating the emotion that they have. I mean, and I try really hard to do this with myself too. Money is emotional. Sometimes you feel scared looking at your bank account. Sometimes you feel, you know, you try to avoid things. Treating myself with that kind of validation and kindness the same way I treat my kids, I think that's really important to have that regulation and that those skills when it comes to money.
That's so beautiful. And yes, it's that inner child work, that shadow stuff that we hate to look at for ourselves. But it's like, would you be so hard on yourself if you were a kid? And we all right. still are kids inside. So I think that's a beautiful perspective.
Right.
What I also wanted to touch on, Samantha, is kind of the economy that you have within your household where you're giving a dollar for each day of chores that they do. Is that correct? So it's about $5 a week. Mm-hmm. And if they don't do the chores, they don't get the payment. Is that how you run it in your household?
Yep. So like I've said, that extra dollar each week is meant towards their expenses. So they at least have that money to play with for their expenses. But yeah, if they don't, then they don't have any money that they can spend at the store or save for anything. So they're pretty good about it.
Okay. Interesting. And then one of my friends dropped me the funniest comment when I said that you were going to come on. She said, why is the tooth fairy dropping $100 bills in my kid's school? I mean, what's the going rate for a tooth these days? What's happening there?
You know, the tooth fairy leaves a dollar in my house, but the tooth fairy is often very forgetful in my house and has to do like a Mission Impossible type thing in the morning to try to sneak money in. But that's obsessed. Yeah, that's just my house.
Yeah. I think one of the things is that it's all relative. I like that you're doing the dollar per day method. I think especially for kids, it's really easy math, like easy to understand. It's not complicated. There's no multiplication. But as we get into these types of things as well, can you also explain an option for a family that maybe wants to do an allowance-free family economy?
That's something that I heard, got a lot of feedback on, was that there's so many families who want to teach their kids these skills, but don't have the money to give their kids an allowance, which I absolutely understand. And all my content was built on being accessible for and teaching these tools to to myself, but then families who really need it, who don't have that kind of wealth. So yes, so I created this allowance-free family economy that was essentially a system that would, it has your own family currency within it and your own earning system, your own like store. You create a family store. So it is a tool that families can use if A, their kids just really aren't ready for cash, or B, they don't have the resources, the money to pay them an allowance, or don't want to for whatever reason they choose.
Yeah. It's basically like creating your own monopoly money, right?
And essentially
your own little bank inside your house. Okay.
Yeah.
I love that. One of the other things I think you're doing so brilliantly, and I'd love for you to speak on, is teaching your sons about earning and setting up different types of businesses.
Yeah.
Can you give us some examples of what that might look like for families with young kids?
So we break the businesses down into three different types of categories: service-based, knowledge-based, and product-based businesses. So obviously, service-based businesses are things like mowing lawns or babysitting. Product-based, exactly as it sounds, lemonade stand, selling baked goods. Knowledge-based is teaching something to someone that you know. So you know how to play the guitar, that type of thing. So we really encourage our boys, if they have extra things they want to save for or they want, to earn in different ways. And so my youngest son is actually starting to like create little kids' books, children's books that he wants to sell. And a lot of times, you know, grandparents buy these books from them or whatever it is that they're buying. Sure. And they're always hitting him up for like a couple bucks, but it's a start. You know, he's 6 years old and he's starting to learn that if I create something of value, then I will have resources. So we really want to teach them those skills to expand.
It's so good. I mean, if anybody's listened to my entrepreneurial podcast, which has come out a few weeks before this one, I literally go through the same thing. If you want to start a business, you need to provide value, right? Here's the different types of businesses that you can provide. I love your example of like, you know, teaching something that you already know. That's a huge way to make money and scale your business. It's what mom's doing right now. You know what I mean?
Right,
it's what you're doing with your business. And I think it's really interesting too, just having those conversations. I think a lot of us grew up doing the lemonade stand thing and selling lemonade for 50 cents when it cost us a dollar a cup to make.
Right.
And really having some framework around what we're actually doing here, I think is brilliant. So have you had feedback from parents that have been following this methodology successfully?
I have. I actually recently got a message from somebody who said that their kids are starting little businesses inside their home. And it's just fun to hear that there's this self-reliance that we're teaching our children. It's nice to know that that message has spread.
Oh, it's so amazing. And it's so in line with what you said earlier about the different types of lessons that we get as kids, either restriction or expansion. And one of the expansion exercises that you do as well is about vision boards and using those for tools for kids. Can you talk us through what you do with your kids in vision boards?
That was actually born out of my kids seeing me create my own vision board. I've made a vision board each year for years, and this year they saw me making mine and wanted to create their own. And so it was a lot of fun. I have a video about it, but they printed off pictures of things that they wanted to accomplish within the year. We put them on these little boards. They look at them from time to time. It's a lot of fun. I want them to have a goal to have goals that they want to accomplish and then see themselves hitting those goals. It'll build confidence within them.
Yeah. And that envisioning too, I think is so important, like dreaming and putting yourself in those shoes. I think that's amazing.
100%.
So I know your kids are a little bit younger than the preteen teenager stage, but we have a lot of listeners who have kids that are getting older and they have questions about things like, when do you kind of transition kids from cash system to a debit card? How do you manage expenses as they get older? Do you have any feedback for them on this?
Yeah. So it's something that I'm actually doing a bit of research on. I think around age 11 or 12 is when we'll probably transition from cash to debit or credit. I use cash now because it's so tangible. And around 11 years old, the kids are starting to have some responsibility. They're starting to spread their wings a little bit. And they're starting to, I mean, at that age, they can really grasp more abstract concepts like having an account where there's not physical, tangible cash associated. So around that age is probably when we'll start. I've been researching a few different types of accounts, and I'm very curious about like Greenlight. There, it's an online banking system designed for kids. And so you can actually like watch what your kids are spending and watch how they're using their money. I'm really curious about that. I'll probably have something like that when my kids are that age, because I want to be able to talk through what's going on with their accounts and their money, even as teenagers.
I think that's amazing. And I even feel this way as an adult. There's something about swiping with a credit or a debit card where it doesn't feel as real. There's this like psychological component to parting with cash that makes it feel really tangible. And one of our listeners, a friend of mine, Abby, was telling me a story about how she gave her son $20 for a book fair. He spent $4 of it and gave the rest away. And she's like, how do we teach our kids about the value of a dollar? And I think going through this step by step every single week, it's kind of that learning by repetition and it helps instill those ideas.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Samantha, I want to get into, before I let you go, your rapid fire rich girl questions, because I want to know a little bit more about you. But I just wanted to tell the audience too, whether you have kids or not, Samantha has a just huge library of videos and knowledge and ideas, and it will break down for you all of the things that she has available to support teaching your kids healthy financial habits and early financial literacy. She has an incredible workbook where it walks you through all the different savings, spendings, investings, giving, all the things, helps them do the math, do the dreaming, you know, track their savings, what they're saving for. And then also these wallets, I think, are just ingenious. Again, not just for kids, absolutely a tool for an adult as well. But she has printables that make it all really, really easy. So you could get started today if you went to her Instagram, which is what, Samantha?
@ Samantha Bird Shiloh is my Instagram and TikTok.
Amazing. And everything that you have available to help parents is linked in your bio. Is that right?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay. So I'm Samantha Bird Shiloh on Instagram and TikTok. And with that, Samantha, I'd love to do some rapid fire rich girl questions with you. How does that sound?
Absolutely. I'm in.
Okay, perfect. So what's your favorite place to vacation?
A favorite place is actually Monterosso al Mar in Italy. I think about it probably daily. It's my favorite place I've ever been.
Oh my gosh. Is it like coastal? Where is it? Tell me more.
Yep. Coastal on the Mediterranean. It's a very small town, mostly like locals. There's not a lot of tourists, at least when I went 10 years ago now. But yes, it's beautiful.
Oh, stunning. Sounds like such a great trip. What's the best investment you've ever made?
Okay, so this is going to be really cheesy, but truly the best investment I've ever made is in my own mental well-being. The way that I look at the world, working through limiting beliefs that I've had, learning and understanding that I can have whatever it is that I want in my life, as long as I can believe that I can. That's been my biggest and best investment.
It's not cheesy. I think it's really important. It's something that we like to talk about a lot here. And everybody says that before they answer that question, because it really, truly is.
It is.
Globally, the best answer. What's your guilty pleasure, Samantha?
Oh, geez. Okay. So my guilty pleasure is I really like fantasy romance books. So like anything with a fairy king, I'm here for. And I'm embarrassed to say it, but I love them.
You shouldn't be embarrassed at all, because our last two guests literally said similar things. I just had Anne Lester on the podcast. She said the same thing. This like just absolutely amazing woman who's been in finance for 30 years. And she's like, give me fantasy romance. And then Heather Christopher, who's an amazing travel advisor. She was like full on like smut books. So we all have a lot in common.
Yeah. It's bad.
Okay. What advice would you give to 21-year-old you?
Oh, geez. Okay. So to 21-year-old me, I would say, you don't have to try so hard. You are perfect, right as you are, because I think there's a quote. It's like the moment you accept yourself is when you can actually change. My growth and change really didn't happen until I made peace with who I was. And so I would tell 21-year-old me to just make peace, enjoy yourself. You're great just as you are.
That's sweet. I think I needed to hear that today too. So thank you. And last question for you, Samantha, before we let you go. What in your life makes you feel the wealthiest?
Oh, geez. A full pantry. I mean, I just can't, or buying groceries and not really worrying about it. That's the best feeling. It'll never get old. I love it.
Oh, that's so true. I can't even, so many of us, I know myself included, going to the gas station and thinking, how many gallons can I afford right now? How far will that get me? What a luxury. Thank you so much, Samantha, for everything that you've done for creating this program, teaching your own kids, but also letting it bleed outside of your household to help so many others and really instilling generationally healthy habits into our kids for a better financial future. So
absolutely.
Thank you for being on today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Of course. Again, it's Samantha Bird Shiloh on Instagram and TikTok. Check out the link in her store to get workbook, printables, wallets, all the things. Samantha Bird Shiloh, we'll talk to you soon, love. Thank you so much.
Feeling rich? I hope so. Thank you for joining me on this episode of Old Money. If you have questions you want answered, email me at oldmoneypodcast@gmail.com or hit us up on social. We are at Old Money Podcast and I am at your service. If this episode spoke to you, inspired you, helped you, if you took a single note, it would mean the world to me if you could please just take a minute to rate and review the podcast. And if you're not doing so already, subscribe. And if you have friends who like getting rich, please share this episode with them, even if it's just on your Instagram story. And I'd love you more than Jeff Bezos loves Amazon Prime. Thank you so much, and I will talk to you on the next episode. Remember, I'm not your lawyer, I'm not your tax professional, and I'm not your financial advisor. The content presented in this podcast is intended to entertain, educate, inspire, and support listeners in their personal and professional development and does not constitute business, financial, or legal advice. In addition to that, this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services.